I now invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Just begun a series in the congregation that I serve in Tabor on the fruit of the Spirit, and specifically using the fruit of the Spirit as a guide for us to see who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He is the one who is so filled with the Spirit that the fruits of the Spirit are fullest in his life. And so we will look this morning at joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. So we'll read together from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. I will read to 24, and then, to 26, and then we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Here we find there, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." I now invite you to now turn with me to Hebrews 12. Speaks about the joy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, particularly verse 2. We'll here read the verses 1 to 6 together. There we find these words: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So far, the word of our God. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you Christians, a thoughtful unbeliever once said, you Christians seem to have a religion that makes you miserable. You're like a man with a headache. He went on to say, he does not want to get rid of his head, but it hurts him to keep it. As much as we might want to protest, I think that there is much truth to this. At least it's true in my own life. Joy can often seem to be out of reach for us. No sooner do we grasp it than it flies and vanishes into thin air. There are just so many things in this life of sorrow that can steal your joy. Sometimes it feels like the joy that we are supposed to have is like the grass of the field, which is here today and is thrown into the fire tomorrow. And yet this is not the way that God intended it to be. This is not the gospel. Our joy is not supposed to be fleeting, even though there is much sorrow and trouble in our lives. Indeed, our lives ought to be filled with joy. And as we consider this fruit of the Spirit called joy this morning, we will see that our joy is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our Savior Jesus was filled with joy, and he wants you and I, as those who belong to him, to also live a life of joy as well. And so I summarize what Scripture teaches about our joy in this way. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. We'll first see Jesus' joy, and then we'll look at our joy. Now, before indeed we can think about our own joy, we do need to focus and consider the joy of the Lord Jesus. What makes Jesus joyful? What makes him happy? If I were to ask you that question and made you answer it right now, what would you say? What makes Jesus joyful? Well, I think the thing that might come to our mind quickly is what makes our Savior joyful is when we are living a life of thankful obedience. When we say no to sin and we say yes to his good commands. When in obedience we gather together and we worship him as his people. Indeed, that is what makes Jesus joyful. Another thing that makes him joyful, you might think about, is the unity that we have as believers. When we live in unity, united in the faith, well, that brings our Savior great joy. Philippians 2, verse 2, make my joy complete, Paul says there, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Indeed, unity among believers brings joy to our Savior. But what is his greatest joy? What brings a smile to our Savior's face most? It's not the unity that we have. It's not the obedience that we share, though those things do indeed bring our Savior joy. Hebrews 12 tells us where Jesus' joy is rooted in. Thereafter, we are told to run the race with endurance that is set before us. We're called to look to Jesus, Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There was a joy that was set before the Lord Jesus. And those words set before him in verse 2 carry with it a sense of dogged determination, a sense of stubborn perseverance like that of an athlete who is fixated on the prize. There, Jesus has a joy that is set before him like that. So much so that this joy that he had could lead him to stop at nothing. Nothing could break his stride, so to speak. Nothing could stop him from obtaining the joy that was set before him. And not even, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, not even the cross. Our Savior scorned the shame of the cross, which is to say that he made light of the cross, made little of it. It was a trifle to him. Now think about that. Those who've lived through a war often have difficulty speaking about how horrific it was. It's too horrible, it's too painful even to speak about. Well, the cross that Jesus went upon, well, there he endured all the horrors and anguish that hell could muster up. There on the cross, our Savior hung, forsaken by God, forsaken by the one who loved him since all of eternity. There on the cross, Jesus, the one who had known no sin, the sinless one, became sin for us, endured God's heavy wrath upon the cross. There was nothing worse than the cross. And yet, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus considered the cross light. It was something that he scorned. That even the horrors of hellish agony that he endured were nothing for him because there was joy on the other side, joy that far outweighed the light and momentary troubles of the cross. And so he did not lose heart. He endured the cross. He scorned its shame. And now ask yourself, what was the joy that made the cross such a trifle, such a light burden for the Lord Jesus Christ? It wasn't fame or prestige or power or wealth. It was you. It was me. The joy that was set before him through the sacrifice of the cross was that you would be forgiven. That was the joy that was set before our Savior, the joy of seeing his people receive the forgiveness of sins, the joy of seeing them being washed whiter than snow. Indeed, that is what enabled Jesus to endure the cross. That was the joy that was set before him, the joy of you being forgiven. And this joy that was worked in his heart was a fruit of the Spirit. It was evidence of the Spirit's life, work in our Savior's life. We should never think that Jesus, just because he was God's own son, that he didn't need the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit at his baptism. He carried out his ministry full of the Holy Spirit, we find in Luke chapter 4. Indeed, the way that Jesus endured the cross, that he had his eyes set on the joy that was set before him, was because of the work of the Spirit in his life. Jesus was led by, he walked and kept in step with the Spirit, and that filled his heart with joy. That's why he set his heart on you, and it filled him with joy. Even though he had to go through the cross, it filled him with joy because he knew that through it you and I would be forgiven. And what does that mean practically for us? Well, it means that when you come to Jesus, as one author put it, when you come to Jesus with your failures, with your foibles, when you come to him for fresh forgiveness, for renewed pardon, for in distress, in need, when you come to him empty, Jesus' heart bursts with joy. That was the joy that was set before him, the joy of seeing you forgiven. Our sinful hearts struggle here. We tend to think that when we come to Jesus with our sin still another time, when we come to him with our failures yet again, when we come to him with all the burdens and sorrows that we have, that deep down Jesus is just a little bit disappointed, that he's a bit frustrated with us. You're here again? Didn't I just give you the forgiveness of sins yesterday? And yet here you are asking for it all over again. What's your problem? We think Jesus is frustrated and disappointed. But how wrong we are. An illustration might help. It's not my own. Imagine a wealthy doctor who travels to a remote village that has been struggling with a contagious disease. We can call it COVID 2020 or COVID-20. It's 1,000 times worse than COVID-19. This doctor, he's found a cure. But when he gets to the village, those who are afflicted refuse his help. Until finally a few brave souls, they come forward and they are cured. Now what I ask you, what does that doctor feel and have deep within his heart at that moment when those who are afflicted come to him for healing? Joy. The doctor is filled with joy that he is able to heal those who are sick. Well, so it is with the Lord Jesus, the great doctor, the physician, the healer of our souls. His greatest joy is when we come to the throne room of grace, when we come to him on our knees and we say, Lord, I am empty. I am worn out by sin and suffering. I need your mercy. I need your forgiving grace. That is what brings joy to your Savior's heart. brings a smile to his face. And this is your Savior, dear child of God. What a wonderful blessing to have a king like him who is so filled with the Spirit, so filled with the fruit of the Spirit, so filled with joy. You and I have a joyful Savior. And so whatever you do, don't keep your Savior at arm's length. Don't resist coming to him in faith. Do not think in your heart, he won't forgive me for this sin. He won't find joy in forgiving me for this one. Oh, he might find joy in forgiving others, in forgiving other sins that I've committed, but this one is too much. He won't find joy in it. Your sin is not greater than your Savior's joy. Your sin can never outweigh his joy. Your sin, great as it may be, it is not infinite. Your Savior's joy is. His joy knows no bounds. When sinners come to him, his heart bursts. So come to him. Confess your sin. That's his greatest joy for you. We come to our own joy. There are many, many things that can bring joy in our lives. We can have joy, and we look in Scripture, we can have joy at the birth of a child. There is joy in marriage and in friendships. There is joy in fellowship and feasting. There is joy in our daily work. All of these, Scripture says, we can find joy in all of them. And at the same time, we recognize, though, that as much as there is reasons for joy and circumstances of joy, that there are also times of grief and sorrow, sadness and heartache. And Scripture acknowledges that as well. Ecclesiastes 3, you know these words, I'm sure. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Proverbs 14 captures this well as well. Even in laughter, the heart may ache and joy may end in grief. Now, the problem is that we tend to think that during times of sorrow, there can be no joy. We think of sorrow and joy as two opposites, and never shall they meet. You're either happy or sad. You're either sorrowful or joyful. You're not both. If you're both, people might think you're weird. And yet the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always. Not sometimes. Not be joyful when your circumstances are joyful. No, be joyful always. That includes times of sorrow as well. And we might think, does Paul then have a twisted concept of joy here? Is Paul saying to us that we are supposed to say to those around us, life is good, even when a storm is brewing in your heart, even when you're almost falling to pieces, when darkness is your closest friend, when you're standing at the graveside? Does being a Christian mean that you have to paste a smile onto your face, pretend that everything is okay even when your heart aches? Well, that is not at all what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, be joyful always. Now the same one who said, be joyful always, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, you can look that up later if you want, 2 Corinthians 6, there Paul says about himself that he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And think of our Savior as well. We've just focused on the joy of our Savior, but we also know Isaiah 53. Jesus was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And yet through the sorrow, through the suffering, our Savior had joy, just like the Apostle Paul. And so what's the secret? How can we be sorrowful yet always rejoicing? The secret is that our deepest joy is not rooted in our circumstances, but in Jesus. Jesus is our greatest joy. As we rest in him, in the forgiveness that he delights to give us, then our hearts are filled with joy. Our joy is constant and complete. Indeed, there is no greater joy than knowing that you have been forgiven in Christ. Knowing that there is now no guilt in life, no fear in death. And Jesus, unlike our family and our friends, our work, or whatever else, Jesus doesn't come and go. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, he says. Jesus is not fickle or fleeting. He's a rock of refuge. He's the anchor for your soul. And when our lives are rooted in him, then our joy is unshakable and constant because he is unshakable and constant. Jesus is the joy that no one can snatch away from you, that no circumstances can chase away. And this is the joy. Jesus is the joy that Paul is surely talking about in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. When we live by the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, when we keep in step with the Spirit, then we will bear the fruit of joy. Joy that is not rooted in our circumstances or anything else, but in Jesus alone. So do you want more joy? You want to be happy. You don't want to be that man with a headache. Well, then you need to stop looking at your circumstances for joy. That's so often the problem, isn't it? The reason that I lack joy is because I see the mountains of trouble all around me. I see the sorrows like sea billows roll. And the more I look at them, the bigger they get. The more impossible than it is to have anything that resembles joy. And then we begin to despair. Darkness closes in. But instead we must remember that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that joy is rooted in Christ. And so no amount of trouble or sorrow can steal that joy. And so what we must do then, by the work of the Spirit, is to take our eyes off of the trouble and sorrow that is around you. You must look to Jesus. He is your joy. He transcends your circumstances and fills you with a joy that no one can take away. He will keep you secure both when your circumstances and family life and whatever else are favorable. He will also give you joy when your health declines, when there's struggles and strife all around you. It says the Spirit works in you, the fruit of the Spirit called joy will allow you then even to give thanks in all circumstances. And that is really one of the important keys for us as Christians to live a joyful life. If every day you make a point of getting on your knees and thanking God in all circumstances, joy will be close behind. So on your happiest day of your life, whatever that is, your marriage or whatever else, you're graduating, the happiest day of your life, when things are going smooth, get on your knees and give thanks to God. For the joy in Christ that rises above these moments of joy. And on your darkest day and in your deepest sadness, get on your knees and do the same. Give him thanks for the joy that you have in Christ that cannot be taken away from you. Yes, we must see as God's people through the work of the Spirit that in Christ our joy is richer than any earthly happiness which runs, and it runs deeper than our deepest sorrow. Now, it's not just sorrow and trouble that threaten to steal our joy, is it? Sin does the same thing. Living in sin is perhaps one of the surest and most effective ways to crush the joy of salvation. Sin is a joy killer of the highest order. And that's why we find the warning in Hebrews 12, verse 1. After we are called to look to Jesus and to recognize the joy that is set before him, before that, We are called, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's so easy to get caught up in sin. It's so easily to be entangled by it. And yet when we are entangled by sin, it crushes our joy. We sang from Psalm 51, that was a psalm of David. There we sang about the crushing joy that he had. He had no joy because of his sin. It's the reason sin crushes our joy is because when we plunge headlong into sin of whatever kind, right? Galatians mentions before the fruit of the Spirit, the acts of the sinful nature. When we plunge ourselves into those acts, the sexual immorality, the jealousy, the anger, the envy, the drunkenness, whatever else, when we plunge ourselves into sin, what is happening is you're not looking to the one who gives you joy. When you're fixating, when you are indulging in your sinful desires, well then your eyes are not fixed on Jesus. And if your eyes aren't fixed on the Lord Jesus, who is joy itself, well then how can you have joy in your heart? It's impossible. And indeed, that's surely why after this warning in Hebrews 12, verse 1, we are called then to fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 2, Hebrews 12, verse 2, we are to look to Jesus. He is our prize, so to say. He is the joy that is set before us. He is the way out of sin and into a life of deepest joy. And so let us take heed of that warning. Is there sin in your life? Rely on the Spirit. Run to Jesus. And do so knowing that our Savior will receive you with open arms. Remember that is His greatest joy. When you come to Him for fresh forgiveness, for renewed pardon. And here we've come for full circle, haven't we? Jesus' greatest joy is when we come to Him for forgiveness, renewed pardon. And our greatest joy is when we come to Him and rest in the forgiveness of sins that He provides. As we go from here, if you recognize that you are in many ways that man with the headache, you recognize that your joy is so often fleeting, well then live by the Spirit. And let the Spirit work in your heart. And don't try to find joy without the Spirit. Right? Fall on your knees and ask for that as well. Ask for the fruit of the Spirit. Ask for joy. Jesus said to his disciples as he was preparing them for him going into heaven, he told his disciples in John 16, verse 24, they were filled with grief that he was leaving. He said, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus is saying, ask. All you need to do is ask. Ask and you will receive. Your joy will be full. And that is what we must do as Christians then when we lack joy, when it seems out of reach, when life takes a turn for the worse, when we find ourselves looking at our circumstances or our sin instead of the Lord Jesus, go to God in prayer. Ask Him to fill you with this joyful fruit of the Spirit, to cultivate it, to make it complete in your life. And by God's grace and Spirit, may we learn more and more that we need not be like that man with the headache, whose joy is always out of reach. Indeed, we can be in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can be people whose heads, whose hearts are filled with joy, who are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Let us come now before the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, You teach us to ask. You promise that when we ask, we will receive. And we pray, Lord, that our joy may be full. We pray that we will live in the joy of salvation. We thank you for our Savior, that his greatest joy was to endure the cross, to offer us the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we pray that that will move us to draw near to our Savior, that we will not keep him at arm's length, but we will recognize his love, his care, his joy for us. And Lord, we pray that as we live in the joy of salvation, that the fruit of the Spirit, the joy that we ought to have, will well up deep within our hearts. We pray that you will send your Spirit powerfully among us, that indeed our lives may be characterized by joy and gladness, by happiness, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Lord, we pray that you will fill us with joy. Father, we lay this before you, we ask this of you, and we trust that you will grant us what we ask for. In Jesus' name, amen.